And as we've looked through this series, we've seen many different times that so often I think we want to be happy, but God wants us to be blessed. And sometimes they're the same thing, and sometimes they're mutually exclusive. Our happiness is usually a feeling that is temporal, that is fleeting. But we recognize that the blessings of God are gifts from God that will endure despite the changing fortunes of life and will be of eternal benefit. And I think with all of different places, we see that more than in this passage here in James chapter 1. So we're going to begin reading in verse 1. James 1 verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word once again. We thank you for the blessings you speak of in your word and the blessings we know that you want to share with us. We pray you would help us to be in a position where you can bless us and help us as well never to forget, while we receive the blessings, to forget the one who has blessed us, Lord. Just draw us closer to you so we may enjoy all the benefits of your presence and your power in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we see in this passage that in a lot of ways, as James begins, that it gives us a very different perspective from what we would think originally, especially when we're in the mindset where we want kind of to be happy, we want to be comfortable, we want things to go very simply if possible. And what happens in the Christian life is we enter into different situations and we become anxious. Sometimes when it happens, we know that God's in control, but we question his wisdom, we question his love. Well, why are you bringing me through this? Why is this happening? And we worry and we don't like it. It makes us uncomfortable. We want God to change it. But we want to realize that the Lord has placed us in a position, in a situation for a reason. He didn't have just kind of a moment where his judgment lapsed. He always knows what he is doing. And so often we want deliverance out of the situation. Much like the disciples on the storm, that there was the wind and the waves and they were greatly afraid and they ran to the Lord and woke him and say, Lord, save us, we perish. And he provided deliverance. He showed himself strong on their behalf. And they got to see his power. But then he speaks to them, well, why is it that you have no faith? That it's a sense that he wanted them to trust him even in the midst of the storm. We a lot of times want a deliverance out of a situation. The Lord wants to deliver us through the situation. He wants to show his power in ways we can't imagine. And you can think of it with the disciples that they enjoyed the blessing of seeing his power, of seeing him still the storm. And the Lord can do that in our life and has done that probably in many instances that we can think of. But sometimes we want to realize that a greater blessing comes if we just trust him through difficult times. And so we see verse 2 of this passage where it says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. That he it's something that we're, if we're to count it all joy, when we look at things from our perspective, the math doesn't really seem to add up very well at all. That we think, oh, how can I call this joy? That this is going to be a difficult situation. This is an uncomfortable situation. Any kind of temptation that we are in, usually it shows us our weakness. It makes us feel vulnerable. And we don't want to be there. It's just, and we can get this feeling that, well, Lord's kind of picking on us, the Lord's being cruel to us, when actually when we get the right perspective, we realize it's for our benefit, it's for our good, that it's actually, He wants to bless us, and it's not gonna, we're not gonna receive the blessing maybe in the present, but we will definitely in the future if we continue on in it. And so we want to recognize whatever temptation that we find ourselves in, that we realize that we are not alone. It's not that the Lord has picked on us or anything like that, or that He's forgotten about us. We realize, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. That all men and women face similar things to what we do at certain points in their lives. Different people in certain points of history have gone through great struggles, and some we can look at of even greater struggles than we have. Places in history where people were persecuted for their faith, even places in this world today that where there are great struggles. And I know we read a little bit of, in prayer meeting this last week of this fellow in Algeria that he's married with a 9-month-old son, and he was thrown in jail because he witnessed to someone that was a Muslim. And we recognize that there's great trials, and we want to see that our temptation is common to man, that we go through much of the similar things. And we realize as well that Christ Himself has gone through the same trials that we have faced. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, it says that He is our high priest. He can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And the reason is that He is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That what we go through, we wonder, well, how can the Lord ask me to go through this? We want to realize that everything He asks us to go through as believers, He's passed through it Himself. That He isn't someone that kind of just kind of pushes us in the valley of the shadow of death and says, well, I'll see you kind of on the other side. That He's already passed through Himself. That He's provided the way. And we realize that as well, that He goes before us, and He also is not one that's going to forsake us or abandon us. It speaks in Hebrews 2 and verse 18 that it says, "For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." And the word "succor," it's not a word that we use often anymore, but it gives the sense of to run to the aid of someone. That if someone's in trouble, if you succor them, that it's you rush to help them, and it's the idea that we have with the Lord Jesus, that He sees our need, He knows what we're going through, He's not abandoning us. And sometimes we think that sort of the Lord's kind of put us in a place all by ourselves, and we just kind of have to muddle our way through. Where the fact is that He's right there with us. He wants to help us through it. He knows our struggles. He knows our weaknesses. He wants to give us victory. And I think, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced it, sometimes you'll have someone that's maybe gone through something difficult, and you kind of go to them and you sort of hope, well, maybe they'll have some words of wisdom, and they almost will have the attitude, well, kind of, I muddled through it myself. I'm not going to give you kind of the cheat sheet sort of thing. You have to kind of muddle through it on your own as well, and learn by trial and error like I did. That the Lord's not like that. That He wants to share with us of His wisdom, share with us of His power, of His grace, so that we can make it through these things. He does not want to see us fail. He wants to see us succeed. And we want to realize with any temptation we have, any trial of our faith, that it has a purpose. James chapter 1 there, it says, and it gives an explanation of how we are to count it all joy, because the trying of our faith worketh patience. That the Lord is putting us in this situation for a reason. He wants to produce something within us. He has our best interests at heart. He is not throwing us to the wolves. He is wanting to build us up, wanting to strengthen us, want to perfect us, make us, as it says there, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That we come to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. We see 1 Peter 1, the same idea is given. 1 Peter verse 1, it speaks that we are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's verse 5, and then it says verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. In verse 7 of chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That thought that our faith, that is a precious thing to the Lord, and the Lord wants to try it with fire. He wants to prove its worth, so that in the end that we would be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That each trial that we face, each temptation, and there's going to be many of them in our Christian life, we have to expect that and anticipate that. But it's they're not, we sometimes worry at them as that they're opportunities for failure, but God wants them to be opportunities for success, stepping stones in our walk with Him, so that our faith would be increased, so that we would grow in grace, we would become stronger. And that's the thought, that the Lord does not want us to fail. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to shine by His power, by His glory. He wants to give us that power and grace so that we can honor Him and glorify Him. And with any temptation, any trial that we face, we understand that God has designed it, and He is all-knowing. He has complete wisdom and absolute love for us and desire for what's good for us. And so when He designs a trial, He allows it to happen. It is not, He has never designed any trial that we would fail. He always designs a trial that we would succeed. And we see that in the latter part of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Where it says, there is no temptation taking you, but such is common as man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That He always provides the way of escape. That He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to do. That He always gives grace in time of need. That we think even in the dealings with Job, as Satan challenged God to allow him to smite him and that he would curse him to his face, that the Lord allowed things to happen, but He always gave a limit. He said, well, this is how far you can go. You can't go any farther than that. And you think, well, He let him go pretty far. That was pretty cruel. But it was because He knew Job could handle it. He knew that in the end that Job would pass. That He actually, you think of it, He was the one that brought Job up to Satan. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Even the second time He said, well, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth, and he still serves me, even though you moved me against him without any cause. That the Lord was, and that was the thought, that He wanted Job to shine. And Job himself said that he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That he knew that God would help him to pass through the trial. And
It's the thought with all of this that as we understand temptations come, they're going to be a part of the Christian life. And we don't always win them. We realize that we fail. But in that, we want to realize in any situation we didn't have to fail, that the Lord has given us that way of escape. And it is always something that we should recognize. Well, it's a shame that we let our guard down. And so often, I know with myself, when you fall into temptation, it's usually when we're not sober-minded, when we kind of... Usually what happens is we have a victory. We do something good, and then we kind of start to get thinking we're something. We try to operate in the flesh and get the glory for it ourselves, and then we fall flat in our faces. But we realize that we God is faithful to us, and that He wants us to succeed, and so we have to allow Him to do that work in us as we submit to Him and seek His power and His grace. And so with any kind of trial or temptation, even though it's a difficult thing for us to go through, and we could just try to think of in our minds or names different trials that we've gone through, or ones that we know of friends that have gone through, or other ones, and a lot of them are things we wouldn't want to really wish upon anyone, but we realize in those things that God wants to bless us in it, that He wants to make all things work together for good. But we want to see with that if we're going to receive the blessing, we have to get to the end of it. And that's what we see from verse 12, where we read, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." That we can be blessed through a different trial, but we're not going to achieve the full blessing that we could until we get to the other side of it. And when we do, we realize it's so much greater. And that's kind of the thing. Sometimes we're in a position where we're serving the Lord and we're blessed of the Lord. We think of Job. God was blessing him. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was very rich. And yet the Lord took that all away and put him through this great trial. And you just think, well, it's not worth it. He lost all that. But yet, when he got to the other side, when he passed the test, when he learned what the Lord wanted him to learn, we find that the Lord blessed him doubly. That we find in Job 42 and verse 12 that he actually ended up twice as rich as he was before. 14,000 sheep. It says, Job 42 verse 12, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That because he passed the test, because he endured, he received a greater blessing. And that's the thing, that we have to have that endurance. It's kind of, if you've ever had a different situation or anything where you have, sometimes they have these things where you're promised a free gift, but you sort of have to sit through a lecture or a sales pitch or something like that, and you don't maybe enjoy going through the pitch, but you know, at least there's, if I don't walk out, I'm going to get something at the end. And it's, we want to realize that God's blessings are so much more than that, that we don't just look at, well, I'm just going to have to muddle through this and kind of just have kind of an attitude where this is just something I have to do to get to something else, but instead that we have an anticipation of, well, God's going to do something through this. I don't know what it is, but I got to trust Him. That we learn to count it all joy, because God's blessings, it's so much more than just some free gift. And that's sometimes what happens is you, I remember, I think what it was is I had this offer for this guy to show me this revolutionary vacuum cleaner that was like, it was like super effective. And I remember the guy came and like he was trying to like cut the hose and show how tough it was, and that he could fill it full of sand and it could still pick up these ball bearings and everything else. And I got to the end, and my free gift was, it was like a 2 or 3 night stay in like the Bahamas or something like that, but I had to pay for the ticket to get there, sort of thing, and I had to get it by a certain time, and it was like, well, that really wasn't what I was looking for. But we understand with God's blessings that when we get to the other side, it's so much more than we would expect. And we can think of that just with a few things. We think, first of all, of the feeling of victory. When we get to the other side, when we've passed the test, how good it feels that we didn't give in, that the devil didn't beat us this time, that we got to the other side. It's sort of the thing that we feel, all of us, when we graduated from high school, we took the test, and sometimes we dread taking the final exams, but when we finally get done and we don't have to, we get to end of grade 12 and we don't have to go to school unless it's something that we actually want to learn, kind of thing, that we have that choice, that it feels good. That sense of accomplishment is a blessing. We recognize also a blessing with it as we go through trials is an increased closeness to God, that so often when things happen, that it helps develop our relationship with Him, that if everything went good, we never really call out to the Lord. We never really seek Him as we ought to. And that's what we kind of see in this passage, where that the rich man was to rejoice that he was made low. And we think, well, to have all these things and have it taken away, if it gets a person to rely more on the Lord and have a closer relationship with the Lord, then if we look in kind of eternity's perspective, we see, well, it was good to lose those things so that we might gain what was truly important, a closer relationship with the Lord. And I think it was well a blessing that comes as we pass through a trial, as we endure temptation, is when we get to see the Lord come through. I think it strengthens our faith that sometimes what happens is that we're going into a situation, we're dreading it, we think, oh, just this could just be a real mess, and I feel like I'm going to fail, and we just kind of pray, well, Lord, I really need your help. And then something happens, and the Lord just kind of shows up and shows Himself strong, and it's like, just to see that, to know that He's there, that so often we kind of think, well, when I really need Him, maybe He's going to not be there, that I'm going to have to muddle through it on my own. But so often when we call to Him, that He comes and He does a great thing beyond what we expected. But I think, as we see in this passage, those are just some many different blessings, but we see as well another blessing that's given. And actually, those blessings that we've listed would be more than enough. But we see, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. And as we understand from the Scriptures, that as we serve the Lord, as we're faithful to Him, that the Lord promises to honor us for our faithfulness. We recognize, of course, that all the crowns that we might gain, we will cast at His feet, because He alone is worthy, that we could not have those victories in our life without Him, that He deserves all the glory. But we see from the Scriptures, Paul spoke in 2 Timothy of a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to all them that love His appearing. And just the sense that when the Lord does come, if we're serving Him, if we're living for Him, that we're going to be glad when He comes. If we're not serving Him, we're going to be ashamed at His coming. And so it's something that we're not going to be able to hide our expression. He'll know right away. And so we will receive that crown of righteousness. We see Peter speaking of a crown of glory given to those who faithfully minister to others. But here we see this crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. And that's the thing, that so many times when we go through temptations, that's what makes the difference, is we have to choose what are we going to love the most. Are we going to love kind of ease or comfort? Are we going to love ourselves, or are we going to love Him more than that? We see in Revelation 2, verse 10, speaks, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." That if we're faithful, if we have a devotion to the Lord, even unto the death, that the Lord will give us this crown of life. And it is promised to them that love Him. When we are willing to choose Him and forsake all other things for His sake. We know it says also in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And so may we do that, that we would endure temptation, that He has promised us a crown if we're faithful. And we can gain that. That it says in another place in Revelation 3, I believe it is, which says, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown." That it's there for us that we can receive it, and there's so many things that want to rob us of that, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to miss out on the blessings. And so it is up to us to endure. And that's the challenge with any kind of temptation, is that if we knew how long it would last, it would be easier. It's kind of like the sales pitch that you might get with the free gift on the end. You know, it's only going to be hopefully an hour or so, and you can kind of handle it that long. But there's a lot of temptations and trials that we face that we don't know how long it's going to be. We hope that it'll just be solved quickly, kind of like with the disciples on the sea, that the Lord says, "Peace, be still," and it's delivered. But sometimes we find that we go through things and we endure it for a long time. We think of the chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 of ones that went through different things, that some were delivered, but then others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. That they endured difficult times for years and for such a long time, and not even seeing necessarily the fruit of it in their life, but as they endured, that the Lord continued to bless them. And so when we ask that, when the Lord asks us to endure, we say, "Well, Lord, how long?" It's kind of like a child that says, "Well, are we there yet?" And of course, so often they'll ask in another 10 minutes, "Are we there yet?" But we want to realize that until we get to glory, we're not there yet. That we need to still stay true, that He's still perfecting us, making us like Him. And so we want to keep going. We want to not give up. We want to hold fast. That He wants to bless us, and we don't want to miss out on any portion of the blessing that He has for us. And so may the Lord help us, that we would be faithful to Him through all of this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these truths that we've seen, that You desire to bless us as Your people. Help us that we would be in a position that You could bless us, Lord, that we would stay faithful to You, that we would let no man take our crown, that we would not get discouraged, but stay true, and that You can give us all that You would desire for us to enjoy, both now and in the future. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one more hymn, number 318, "I Need Thee Every Hour."